Shavuot Tov, world, and Purim Sameach, or at least Tashlumim of Purim Sameach, can't really call it Purim, but we're getting back to the story in which we're still in the middle of, in which we had a challenge. I want to see how it is that each and every one of the cases that were listed in the Mishnah would be workable if you hold that it's only going to be in a case where there is a chiyuv of an iser kares, and I don't understand how it's possible. And so, taxed with this, very difficult as it turns out, it's not as difficult as it appeared, so Rava told Rav Papa, you go out and you explain to Rav Huna Bar Chidina what's going on over here. I don't know why he's got such a rough time. And so Rav Papa was in the middle of going through every single case in the Mishnah that listed the various dinim, and we had gotten up to today, Daf Pe Tet Amud Aleph, Daf Pe Chet Amud Aleph, right? Yeah. And the last thing that we had learned was that he spoke about a machlokas, about Pricha Bebegadim, and now we're up to Divrei Rivot. So Divrei, we darshaned, meant referring to Erechin, Charomim, Hegdeshes. Where in the world would there be a machlokas about Erechin and Charomim that would have to do with Nisr Kores? This is what it was that Rav Papa was called upon to answer. He said, I explained it to you very simply. Erechin could be the machlokas between Reb Yudah ben Bezerah and the Rabbona. What would that be? Reb Yudah ben Bezerah says, oh no, sorry, I skipped. The first thing that we had was, the Erechin says, Rav Papa, that would be Bepluktid Rabbi Meir Verabonah. That was a machlokas, famous machlokas that we've had many times in Breita, where Rabbi Meir Shita is that Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala. If somebody says something that just doesn't make any sense at all, we actually figure out what he must have really meant, and we take that as the actual meaning of the statement. So let's say somebody would be marich pachot mi ben chodesh. Now, Amaisa, the Torah says beferish that the erechin, the youngest erechin, it says mi ben chodesh, and less than that, there is no erechin. So a guy says, I want to give the erechin of a person who's an infant, less than a month old. Rabbi Meir says, well, since ena amaisa dvar levatola, so he must mean that he wants to give the value, not the erech. The erech, of course, is the amount that the Torah defines as a given value, which has only to do with his age and his sex. And over here, he has no erech at all in that terms because he's less than 30 days. So it must be his actual market value. And the Chachomim say, no, this means absolutely nothing. And they don't hold the name on the Magdash Dvar of Avatola. So look, there's a tremendous difference, which would be Nogia, an Isser Chorus, very simple, says Rav Papa. Look, let's say that the Gizbar comes along and he takes he passes like Rabbi Meir, right? And he takes this money. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, yes, the person actually owned that money. According to Chachomi, he didn't own that money, in which case it never belonged to Hegdesh. So now, let's say that the money that he set aside, he forgot that it was Hegdesh, and he went ahead, well, it wasn't Hegdesh, but he thought, you know, that it was Hegdesh. So now he went ahead and he used it to be Mekadesh and Isha. So according to the depending on what, let's say, the Bezdin Paskin like the Rabbanan, so then it would be a kosher Kedushin because he never owed this money. Bashenkin of the Zarkin Mamre Paskin like Rabbi Meir, so then she would be Mekadeshes, which of course would cause her to be an Isha Siege, which of course is an Isha Curse, and so on. The same question that we had all along. As long as something can end up creating a difference, it doesn't have to directly be nogea that difference. That's what Rav Papa is trying to show. There is no case where I cannot come out in the end with a difference because of the psak. Let's take the case of the Charomim, the next case. Charomim. That would be a reference to the machlokas in the Mishnah that we had about what the din would be. This is a Mishnah in Erechin. We plucked to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerah and the Rabbanan, the Tanan. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerah mer stam charomim lebet kabayi. So somebody just says, this is muhra. So according to him, that would mean it's kochi bet kabayis. Because after all, it says, kol cherim kodesh kodashim ula Hashem. Chachamim omrim, no, stam charomim, if you don't say lebet kabayit, it actually goes to the Kohanim. because it says kisteach erem l'kohen tiye achuzato. So therefore, if that's the case, you'll ask, and Ken, once we already started learning it, let's learn how they learn each other's pasuk. So how do you explain the Kodesh Kodeshim u Hashem if it actually goes to the Kohanim? That comes to tell me that it's chal on kachim kalim and kachim kachim, and that would mean that if something was already Kodesh and a person dedicates it to a cherub, so he has to pay whatever tovat hana'ah he has in it, if it was a nedava, or he pays the actual value if it's a Ned. Okay. How about, so again, the difference obviously would be, so then it would depend what you would hold. If you're like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, if somebody said, this should be a chera, so then according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, you're chayev in a korban me'ila. If you brought the korban me'ila, however, if you held the other way, you held like the Chachamim, so then you could end up being over on chiyuvim. That would be an issakaris because you're not chayev in Me'ilan. It would actually be your money. Or if you brought that korban, whether it's considered to be a korban or not, could easily result in a chiyuv karis, depending on all kinds of things, bringing it outside of Beis HaMikdash and so on. So it's obvious that there's plenty of differences. How about hekdeshes? Well, over there we have a brighter, famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says you always need a minimum of 10 people in order to be sham, in order to do the appraisal. So according to him, even if you've got this tiny little thing that's worth almost nothing, it's sinora, which is a little spinning fork that you used for the gold, for, you know, the little thin threads of gold that nitzas sora b'nei adam livdota. And if you're proto it wrongly, then it would still belong to Hegdash, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So then there would be a machlokas over there, whether we be chayven me'ila on it, which would make an afkamina and a chi, of course, as we just explained. Next thing that we said, in the list in the Braita, divrei revot. So what are revot? So the Braita explained, revot refers to ashkat sota, arifat egla rufa, the tyra of a mitzera. These are all things that come out of fights. Even the tzaraz comes out of the fight because it's ultimately about lashon hara and the kind of things where people get involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. How do you explain the iser chorus in hashka'at sota? Well, very simple, says Rav Papa. We could be talking about the machlokas and the mission and saita. So machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So, amekane le'ishto, Rabbi Eliezer amekane api shnayim, umashke api edechad api atzmo. So the key noise is, Rabbi Eliezer, that has to be done in front of two edim. But then, if he sees that she was alone with this guy that he told her not to, then it would be enough that he saw her, or even if there's one aid. If one aid saw her and he didn't see her, they would still be mashka her on that basis. Was Rabbi Yoshua Emer, Mikane al Pishnayim? I agree with you that the kinoi requires two aidin, but I also hold that in order for you to be mashka, you need to have two witnesses that she was actually alone. Now, once she would be chayev in drinking, so then it would be that, yeah, let's say that she says, I refuse absolutely to drink. So what happens in such a case? She would be asura to her husband, and she loses her ksuva. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he would say, that's true. She actually lost her ksuva because she was mechuyevet to drink. Rabbi Yeshua, she would say, no, there was only one witness, and therefore, there was no problem. You need to have two witnesses. But now, let's say that that ksuva was owned by somebody who had bought an option for the ksuva. He goes and takes that ksuva, uses the money to be Mekadesh and Isha, and that would, depending on what the psak would be, would make her an Eishes Ish or not make her an Eishes Ish. Well, there you've got a big difference in whether you're Chayev Karis or not. So your next case, you're asking me, what about Egla Rufa? How could the Arifas Egla make an Afkamina and a Chi of Chorus? Well, again, I say it's Parshat. This is the Mishnah in Sota. So we have Machlokas over there between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. What is the point on the body of the person who was found dead in the street from what part of his body do we take the measurements to see which city is closest? So Rabbi Eliezer says, from his navel, Mitiburo. Rabbi Akiva says, from his nose. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, from his neck, the Mokom Shenasa Chalal, which is the usual place people will kill someone, and that is called Mitzavaro. Okay, so there, too, the question over there would be that if you would use this Egla Rufa to be Mekadesh Anisha, so that if it really is an Egla Rufa, since it's a Surbana at this point that you brought it down, somebody is not alone. So since the Kedusha wasn't chal on it, because according to this Bezdin, it's really supposed to have been measured to the other city, because you're supposed to measure not from his neck, you're supposed to measure from his navel. Whereas according to the Zaki Mamre, he says, no, it is, and therefore she's not Mekudeshet, or vice versa. Again, a machlokas about an Eish HaSish, and whether there would be a Chi of Karet. And then we said, Torat HaMitzora. Where would there be a machlokas benogia kores in that? Well, that could be in the Mishnah, actually, the case we have in the Mishnah in the Goyim. The Tanan, that's a plukta Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. The Tanan, elo boen yat, boen rega, or ozen yemanit. Suppose a guy doesn't have, this mitzvah doesn't have a right thumb, or he doesn't have a toe, a right toe, a big toe, or he doesn't have a right ear. So, in this case, then, he does not have any way of getting the Tahira, because he can't sprinkle the dam on the Bohen Yad and the Bohen Regal and so on. So how can he become Tor? The Arshim, the Dama Arshim will never get on him. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, sure he can. He just puts it on the place, Notein al Mikomo. So he puts it on the stump of whatever had originally been there. And that's sufficient. It doesn't have to be literally the pusik the way it's written. That was a machlokas, of course, that we had, whether you need the pusik to always be as it's written, kiksavik. Rabbi Shimon says, you can switch the hand. If you don't have a right hand, you can put it on your left hand and so on. Don't have a right ear, you can put it on the left ear. So basically, what would happen over here is that if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash without having the Tiras HaMetzor, he'd be high of chorus. So there would be a nafkamina between the psak of the Bezdin and the psak of the Zokin Mamre as to whether he is high of chorus or not. Next case we said, Bisha'arecha, refers to the Ve'ochlu Bisha'arecha. So that's referring to the Leket, Shikha, and Peah, as we said. Where do we find Machlokasin that are Nogei Anisur chorus, Rav Papa? Says Rav Papa, well, once again, it's a Mishnah. I'll take the case step by step. Let's take the case of Leket. So here we have a Mishnah where there is a Machlokas about the Shir. So let's say the Mishnah says over there, Shnei Shibolim are Leket, and Shlosha ain't a Leket. So depending how many grains fall, that's the question of what is considered to be Leket that you have to leave for the Levium or Shikha. We find in the same Mishnah, Shnei Omarim Shikha, Shlosha Eina Shikha. This is all Beis Hillel. But Al Kulam, both cases, Beit Shammai Omarim, actually three that fall, whether you're referring to Omarim or you're referring to the actually Shibolim, that goes to the Ani, four goes to the Baal HaBayit. So then, this is exactly the case. Somebody who owns a field, he went ahead, he saw that three shibolim had dropped, he picks them up, and he gives them to a woman to be Makadisher to be his wife. But if the halacha was it's supposed to go to the ani, so then it isn't his to take, and so on. What would be the case of Peah? Where Peah leads to a machlokas about Karis, that would be another Mishnah. Actually, it isn't a Mishnah, but it says the Tanan here. Beplukta de Rebbe Yishmael v'Rabbanan. So that would be a machlokas about mitzvahs Peah lafrish minakama. So we know that lechatchila you're supposed to take off the Peah while the crop is still in on the ground. How about if you never did that, lo yafrish min hakama, and you took the whole crop in, so then yafrish min haomarim, so then you leave the peah from the produce that has been tied and is in sheaves in the field. How about if you took even that in, Loi Frishman Omarim, and now you've got the actual grains that have been taken off, Ya Frishman Akri, Achelo Mircho. But this is only up to the point where you do the Miruach. The Miruach is smoothing it down. Once you smooth it down, so now you're Chayev already in Trumas and Maizreis. So if you're Mircho, you can't give it to the Oni like that, because actually the Oni is Potter from taking off Maizreis. And in this case, you were Mechayev him in taking off Maizreis, and therefore you're going to be causing him the loss of whatever Maizreis be taken off of it. So this, Min Rabbanan, you're Mechayev to take off the Maizreis, and then give it to him. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, it doesn't matter even if you ground it and you were mafresh it from grain or you made it into a dough, you would still be chayav, because we don't say that you're kena it b'shinoi, which according to the Tanakhama, you would be kena it b'shinoi. So therefore, we have exactly this machlokas according to the Tanakhama. So then he stole some of this flour, if an oni takes it. Mashani, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it is his flour, so it would depend who was Makadosh and Isha with it. And again, it would make a nafkamina in an Isser of Eishes Ish. Moving on. Okay, so the Mishnah now describes three Batei Dinim, who that are there in the Beis HaMikdash, one of them at the entrance where you're about to go into the Ezra's Nashim, the other when you're about to go from the Ezra's Nashim into the Ezra's Yisrael, and the other is in the Lishkas Hagazis. And this was a series in which first you present your case, you come up first to your own Beis Din, present the case, and then if they don't give an answer that is acceptable, you move up and you go through the steps until you reach the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin Gedolah. So Amar Rav Kahana, now, these machlokas that we have over here between the Zakin Mamre and what it is that he's hearing from the Zakenin. So if he actually was Makabal, this aloha, and he's saying over, look, I don't have any personal opinion about this at all. I'm only telling you what I was Makabal from my rabbi. And they say, well, we have another Kabbalah. So then he's not Nerag, because this has nothing to do with his psak. If he says, it seems to me that alpi svara, not alpi kabbalah, and they say, it appears to us, kachu be'einenu, so there too, he's also einu nerak. And for sure, if he says, look, I have no personal opinion, I'm just telling you what I was shermeya from my Rebbe, and they say, we don't have any kind of kabbalah, but we never heard anything about it, and it appears to us the opposite of what you're saying. So for sure, in that case, he's not going to be Neharag. The only time that he would be Neharag, if he says, Hachiomar, I think in my personal opinion that this should be the Svara, and the Beis Din is saying, we have a Kabbalah. Because, look, it's clear that that's the case, because remember, Akavya bin Mahalalel, who was, as we learned there in the Mishnah, one of the biggest tzaddikim in all of history, and, you know, like the Azora never closed the doors on anybody that was on that madriga, like Akavya bin Mahalalel. And Akavya bin Mahalalel had argued about these four different dinim, and Akavya bin Mahalalel says to his son, listen, you should not accept my opinion before he died. Is it you? Because you only heard it from me. I heard it from the rabbim. I heard it from my own rabbim. And they were arguing about what exactly was, in fact, the shmua, not a personal opinion. And the fact is, Hare lo hargu et Akavya bin Mahalalel, they never considered Akavya bin Mahalalel to be a Zorkin Mamre. They never killed Akavya bin Mahalalel, did they? So it must be that that's because they were talking about not opinions. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, not so. Afilu hu omer mipi ha-shmua, as a matter of fact, exactly opposite. Even if he would say something which he was makabel from his rabbi, and they are saying, we don't know, we don't have a Kabbalah, but we have an opinion as far as what the halacha ought to be, kachu be'ininu, he would also be a zokei mamre. Because basically, even though he has a Kabbalah, and you think, I mean, yeah, what's he supposed to do? he has to be makabel the din of the Besdin, because if not, there will be kamateres be Yisrael. And I'll prove it to you, says the Ross. Because what are you saying? I won't prove it, but I'll show why your proof is not a proof. You say, that has nothing to do with what it is they were arguing about. The reason that he was not chayev to Sazak in Mamre is because he was never Meir HaLoch HaLamaisen. Remember, we said before, you don't become a Zakin Mamre based on theory. If you're telling them, I believe this is the halacha, we said before, he must actually paskin that this is the halacha, and he says, go ahead and do it. Otherwise, it's not. And Tanan, if you take a look in our Mishnah, it actually seems to be that way, because it's, look what it says in the Mishnah. He says, kach dorashti, v'kach dorshu chaverai, kach limadati, v'kach limdu chaverai. So, I mean, l'chora, it wouldn't matter over here whether my love to who Amar bi Piashmua, because he's the one who speaks first. So he's speaking first, it seems, that he has a right to be saying what he's saying. Otherwise, I mean, we should first hear what the Besdin says. But the idea over here is that Lechora, he's saying mi Piashmua, and they're just arguing, and they're saying, Kahu be'inenu. No, not necessarily. It could be the other way around. Maybe he's saying kachu beinai ve'imomri mipiashmua. The order doesn't prove anything. Okay, what about this brayta? To prove Rabbi Elazar from this, the Omar Rabbi Yoshia, shlosha dvorim sachli zeira mi'anche Yerushalayim. I heard three things from one of the big people in Yerushalayim. First of all, he said that if a baal is mochel al kinuyot before the Megillah of the Seita is erased, and he says, never mind, I'm Echel, that you were alone with this guy, I don't want to continue to be makbid on you, it's Mochul, and we will not, in fact, give her the Mayim. So, in that case, and a Ben Tzorah Morer, where we said also, so only if the parents actually bring him in, and if they want to be Bechalim, and they don't want to bring him in the second time to Besdin, to have him knocked off, they can be Bechalim. And what's more, Ezakin Mamre, Shiratu Beitin Limcholo, Mochalimlo. So when I came to the Chaverai Shebedorom, they were made there with two of the things that Zira taught me, but not the one about the Ezakin Mamre. They said that a Mozoki Mamre, you cannot be Meichel. Why? Kadesh lo yirbu machlokot be Yisrael, which is exactly what it was that Rabbi Elazar said. So apparently this is telling us that Lamaisa, since that's the whole point, is that there shouldn't be machlokas in be Yisrael, apparently Rav Kahana was wrong. And indeed, he is Tiyufta. So that we will not accept any type of machlokas like this, even if he was justified by having a Kabbalah. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yossi, the truth is that we never used to have this problem. Mitzchila lo ayubar bi machlokas bi Yisrael, ela beizdin shel shivin ve'echad yoshvim b'lishkas hagazis, shnei batedinim shel esrim v'shleisha, echad yoshev ha-petach ha-rabayit, echad yoshev ha-petach ha-zora, and we have all over Eretz Yisrael, shar batedinim shel esrim v'shleisha, yoshvim b'chol ayarot Yisrael. Where would we end up with a machlokas like that? If somebody needs to know what a din is, so fine, so they go, shaylem b'bezdin shebe'iran, im shamuv. So Amrulahem, if they didn't know, they didn't have a Kabbalah, so fine, they could go to the closest Besdin and find out maybe people nearby actually knew what the halacha was. But the idea over here is, now, there's a whole question, Rabosai, as to what happened to this. This is like a new thing that we say they went to the next door Besdin, right? I mean, it didn't say that in the Mishnah. And the truth is that the Rambam doesn't paskin this particular thing at all. So, okay, so the Achronim learn that the Rambam understood that there's a machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braita. I really don't think it's a kasha at all. Remember that the whole way that this begins is by saying that there never used to be machlokas, right? So the whole point of this braita is that there was no need to argue because you could always find a marker for the halacha. If it's not local, so you'll find it somewhere else. You'll write a shaila to a Beis Din somewhere else. Now, of course, it's different. People are not interested to hear what the halacha is from some other Beis Din. They got their own opinion. And therefore, all we're left with is to go running up to the top, take it to the Supreme Court, like everybody is now. They yells, we'll go to Bagatz. We'll go to the Supreme Court. So, okay. Therefore, the Mishnah was talking about where it was the situation that we have now, where all of these are machlokas, and it would say, well, if they're not going to accept it, the chayv misa. Okay, but over here we're talking about when zmanim were kitikunam. So people are trying to find someone who does have a kabbalah on this issue, or a bezdin that is clear about this issue. Oh, now I understand. Baruch Hashem, I found a bezdin that knows about it. If worst comes to worst, I can go all the way up to the bezdin I got. Fine. So then we still had the shnei batei dinim shel etzer v'shleisha, echad yoshev al pesach harabayit, echad yoshev al pesach hazara. So we have all of those batei dinim. So here we talk about whatever you do. You know, you could go to people that you think maybe are smarter than the local Beis Din. Anyway, if they knew, so fine, Amram. If in the end they couldn't find, so then they went up to the Pesach Harabayis. Im shabu amru lehem, im lav vayb lezeh shapetach hazorah. Vayimer kach dorashti, kach toshu chavirai, kach limadati, kach lomzu chavirai. Im shabu amru lehem, im lav elu veilu vayb lishkes hagozis. And over there, sham yeshvim, the Sanhedrin is there from the time of the Tumit Shal Shachar until the time of the Tumit Shal Ben Harbayim, b'shabatot uviyamim tovim. So then they sit not there, but rather they sit in the chel. So they didn't want to be, there's two possibilities over here. Either they didn't want to be in the Lishkas HaGazis because it would look like they were paskening dinim, and Beis Din is not yeshiv on Shabbos and so on. So they weren't actually sitting there al ha-mishpat. However, they needed to be available. First of all, they wanted to be available in case Shilas came up. That's something else. There may be a question about a treifas or something about a shiloh of a karbonas or whatever. So they wanted to be there, but they didn't want it to look like they were actually sitting in Mishpat. That's the more likely reason, as Rashi explains. I mean, others say they were, because so many people would come, the Lishkas HaGazis was too small. Okay. All right. Anyway, that's where they would sit. And Nishala Shela Bifnehem, Im Shamu Amrulahem, Im Lav Omdim Laminyan. So they would take a vote. Robo Amitamim Timu, Rabim, Robo Amitarim Tiaru. That was when life was normal and people were normal and people did not have their own agendas to prove. But then, Mishirabo, so you see that this is a brisa that now transitions into the situation today. It's no kasha bechlal. Why would the Rambam pask the minig what was? Obviously, if you have a chance on finding out halacha, you'll call every Beis Din that you can. You'll try to get halacha. I mean, this is a major thing, like schlep, and the whole Beis Din comes up with you to Yerushalayim and so on. So obviously, if people don't have agendas, I mean, how likely is that to ever happen? Okay, but now, Misha Rabu Tabir Shabbai Vehil Shiloshim Shu Kol Tzorchan. But then, when things got bad, what got bad? People started not doing Shimush Tamirei Chachomim properly. In order to be Mishamish Tamirei Chachomim, that is a very rough thing. You have to apprentice yourself, Mamish, to a Talmud Chacham. And you have to accept a lot of bizyonis and a lot of criticism. And sometimes, as Rabbi Akiva said, I used to get beat up by my Rebbe. And, you know, what can you do? That's the way it is. If you can't get it through your head, we'll push it through your head. But the bottom line is, it is the more that people become involved in themselves. So whether it's in terms of laziness or an unwillingness to search for reality and the truth, and they just, you know, they already have a whole approach to life and everything has to fit into their approach. So then there's going to be tremendous machlokas, and it's exactly what happened. So Rabu machlokas b'Yisrael. V'naseh t'torah k'shtei torot. Anyway, so now there's another point once we're already bringing up the Braita. How did they select the members of these upper courts? So we have these three upper courts. So basically, from Beis Din HaGadol, they would send messages all over the country that if there are people in your community who are chacham and they're shval berach, the first of all, it's all very nice that they're chachamim, but they need to be humble people. V'dat abriot nocher menu. They have to be people that people are comfortable with speaking to and listening to them, and that way people will actually listen to him and be makabel from him. So then he should be, first, put him into your local court when there's an opening. When there's an opening in the Harabayit, if somebody, one of the Dayanim in the Harabayit dies, so then we search for the best candidate from all of the local Batei Dinim all over Eretz Yisrael and bring him up here. And then if there's an opening in the next higher one, the one that's the 23 best and that is by the Azara, then he gets to be there. And if there's an opening ultimately in the Bezdin HaGadol, so they will take him and bring him up to Bezdin HaGadol. So this is a process gradually of the Dayanim becoming more and more mumchim, more and more mekubalim, and we have a history of them, and we see how people relate to them, and so on. So in the end, we have the la creme de la creme in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Shochu mitam from Eretz Yisrael, they sent, once we've mentioned this thing about, you know, it's not enough to be smart. It has to be someone who is also a shval berech. So they also sent, if you want to know who would be Ezehu ben ha'olam haba, so who actually lives in Olam Haba? Anvetan, Ushval Berach, so he's modest, and he thinks lowly of himself, Shayef Ayil, Shayef Enafek, doesn't go in, you know, with his head up in the sky and making a big fuss when he comes in and smash bang and everybody makes a big tumult and so on. He bows down and sort of hides when he comes into the room or when he leaves out of the room. Gores bioraita tadira, he's always learning Torah. V'lo marzik tivusel anafshin, he doesn't think in any way that he is super special. He takes it as an incredible zechus that he was able to do this. That's the type of person that is a ben olam haba. Yavu b'rabbanan hineon b'rav ula bar abba. This is Ula. We usually call him Ula. It's the way that the Rabbanan looked at Ula. Next stage in the Mishnah, he goes back to his local community, and there he does the same thing that he used to do, and he's still teaching everybody that he thinks best that is wrong. So it says, he's potter. But if he's Meir HaLokha L'maisa, he tells him to actually do the opposite of Bezdin, then he's chayv. Tana Rabbanan, that's not even enough. He's not going to be chayav misa unless he himself follows his own hora. That would be enough. Or he tells other people and they actually do the yasu kora ato. So some learn that it means they actually do it. But that's not the way that we pass. It's not how the Rambam understands the Gemara. It means he tells other people to do, but it doesn't mean that they have to do. The first part is that he would do it, but one or the other would be enough. So now, what would be if he would go according to his own das before he was told not to? So then, of course, the clarity is over here. It has nothing to do with the Avera that he did. It has to do with the fact that he went against the Bezdin, right? So now, that way that we described it, told other people to do it. So there I understand that only then does he become Chayav Misa, Bikara Lav Bar Ketalahu, and now that Bezdin told him, you mustn't say that that's not Loch anymore. So then he becomes a Bar Ketalah, but up until now, just because he gave the wrong psak, according to Bezdin, if they didn't tell him that they're overruling him, so he was not chayav. But the first part that says, if he himself goes ahead and does kehoraato, isn't he a bar ketala because he did something that is an iser misa? Because it turns out that whatever he thought was wrong, forget about his being a zaken mamre. If Lamaisa, he was actually going against Halacha, nobody agreed with him, so then wouldn't he be a chayav misa, not because of zaken mamre. He would be chayav misa because we're talking about doing things that are a chayav of misa and of a korban. So I understand if we were talking about where the iser was an iser chorus, let's say he spoke about chelev vidam. Again, we're assuming that we're being only going according to the Shita, that also has to be something which is an Isser Karas. All right. So there, he didn't do anything that would have been Mechayev HaMisa, Mikor Lav Bar Ketala. And now the Bezdin said, don't you ever say that that is Mutter, because it isn't. And now if he does, and he tells people that they can eat this anyway, so then he would be Chayev HaMisa. But Echaduri Mechayev HaMisa is Bezdin. But how about where the argument had originally been about a chiyav misas besdin, where he had done that chiyav himself. So then, l'chora mikora nami bar ketala. So what's the difference whether he becomes a zaken mamre since he was always going to be chayav? No, but it's not true. Because mikora boy atra'a. Look, he wouldn't have been chayav because he held that it was mutter. So we would have had to, he would have had to be Mekabalat Zerah on it. But now that Bezdin tells him, the Farish, that you cannot give that psak, so now if he does, that is the Hatra'ah. Obviously, we may have to still give him a Hatra'ah, that's true. We have to give him a Hatra'ah. If you don't listen to Bezdin, then you're going to be Chayav Misa. Okay, fine. But as far as the Etzem thing that he's saying is, if he went ahead and did that, after Bezdin told him he wouldn't need Hatra'ah, that would be the difference. Well, what about if he was a Mesit? Over there, L'chatchila, he does not need Hatra'ah. And if he was saying that something was mutter in terms of Avodah Zarah, so then what would be the meaning? It's saying over there that if he did it originally, so then he would be chayev because he's a Zaken Mamre. No! If he did it, he'd be chayev because he did it. Why do we need him to be a zaken mamre? So what changes after Bezdin tells him not to do it? What makes him more chayev now than he was before? Well, no, that look, let's say he would explain. And he would explain this. What I'm telling you is not hasata. Adarabba, this is mutter. Whatever, he gives some kind of psak about attending the church for inter-religious meetings, whatever. And he's explaining why he holds it's not hasata. And in that case, even though maybe we didn't consider that the halacha, but certainly we were going to sit back and think, maybe he's right. So in such a case, we would have actually worked it out. Okay, if we overrule him, in the end we overrule him. But we certainly wouldn't have said he's chayav misa if there was a grounds that it should be mutter. But hashda yomar taima, lo mekablin aminei. Once the Bezdin already overruled him, so then it doesn't matter how good his arguments are. It doesn't matter even if he's right for that matter. The point is that in going against the Bezdin, that's the makor of his chayav. So over there, the fact that he did it lechatchila, he's explaining to you why what he did was mutter. He's not b'chuyev to know what you think the halacha is up front. So as long as that would have been something valid that you would have had to discuss, you would have to think about, so then it would never be b'chayev and misa, obviously. And now this brings us to, Sir Richard. Chomer b'divrei soferim midivrei Torah. There are certain things that you'll only understand because the Chachomim have explained them, and those kind of things sometimes end up being more chomer than the actual words of the Torah itself. So, Lamosha, somebody says, as a Zaken Mamre, there's no such thing as tefillin in the Torah. So if he's saying that, he's basically canceling the divrei Torah. But the halacha is that he's potter, because that is not considered to be a hora'ah at all. It's just ridiculous. So you can't just take the Torah and misrepresent it. But suppose you would say, tefillin is supposed to have five parshios in it, not four. where over there it's only losif al divrei sofrim, because look, the divrei sofrim there, they are analyzing the pasuk, totafot, what does totafot mean? And they come out that it means four, right? So if he disagrees with them, and he says to them that this is actually supposed to be five, so then you would be chayev in this case. Now, of course, this depends what the halacha would be in the original Mishnah that we spoke about. Because remember that Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, it's something that is be'ikar ben ha-Tayra, and now there is Teresh Shebal Peh on that thing. Remember that according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't have to be anything that's even written beferish in the Torah, even if it's something that is found in a halacha, according to Rambam, even if it would be a midivrei sofrim completely. Anyway, so over here, the question about something that you would not be chayev, obviously, you'd be chayev in these cases, is not necessarily like Rabbi Meir, because, I mean, you don't have a chayev of karas in that case, although the way that Rabbi Papa explained it, we could probably come up with some ways. So this is, the pashtus would be that we're going just a little bit of a biyata. Omer Rebbe Lazer, Omer Rebbe Oshaya. Eino chayav, ela al davar she'ikaro midivrei teira, upirusho midivrei sofrim. That you understand, but let me add a little bit here. Yeshbo lohosif. It would be possible here to change something, you know, like instead of four, to say there would be five. And in the event that he would be Mosif, he would then actually be canceling the Mishnah, the Mitzvah, because if he would be Mosif, he would be Goreya. Now, taking that as the definition of what we're talking about over here, the only case that I could come up with where this would be considered to be ipso facto a case of a Zokin Mamre, I can only work out tefillin Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So, yeah, over there, you've got something that is the Ikar Ben HaTorah. What these tefillin are defined midivrei sofrim. And if you change it, you add an extra bayit to the tefillin, so then you're going to be ruining the tefillin. And therefore, that would be the case Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So, okay, this is a little bit strange. I mean, what about all the other cases? This is the only case that the Torah gave a Zokin Mamre for. Some of the Rishonim understand we're talking about what mitzvahs asay would be included that would be considered the equivalent of being over on the Divrei Torah. Well, I understand. And why is tefillin any different than lulav? Lulav is exactly the same thing. The Torah tells you to take a lulav. It doesn't explain what the lulav is and how many parts of it you have to take. And it's pirusho is midivrei sofrim. And they tell you what it's all about. And you can add to it by pushing in a different min or a different number of things. And if you do that, imosif, you would be goreya. You would be ruining the lulav, if you did that. Let's say you take five different meaning. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not so poshut, is it? What's the halacha about the lulav? Remember, we have a big machlokas about whether a lulav, the different meaning of the lulav, are supposed to be tied together, which is called that it's tzorech aga, eged, or it's eno tzorech eged or agad. What's the din? So, if you hold, let's say you hold that there's no need to tie it together. So then, if that would be the case, so let's say you add a peach. He says, in order for you to have a kosher lulav and esrog, it's got to be a peachy lulav and esrog, and there's got to be a nice little peach with it. So then, what's the big deal? What makes the peach part of the lulav anyway? If you hold it, you're not supposed to tie these up together. So then, you just ignore the peach. I mean, like, he's not hurting anybody by having a peach there. And if you hold that you do need agad for your lulav, so then, once he makes that actual lulav, so then, there wasn't any lulav here. So it was no good. It was Gerulav Olmedu. You started off with a non-lulav. I understand if you start off with a kosher lulav, and then he goes out and he passes the lulav. Okay, I understand that that would be ruining the lulav. But over here, he gave you the wrong instructions. You didn't make a lulav. You made a peachy lulav, which is not a lulav. So I thought you need to do something that you, it says that if you're Moshev, you were Goreya. But over here, there was never a time where it was good. Okay, what about tzitzis? Okay, tzitzis is, it says in the Torah to make tzitzis akanfei bigdechem. It doesn't say all of the details of those tzitzis. So, I mean, over there too, yesh bo lohosiv, ve'imosiv goreya. So, I don't know, what's the din? Let's say, if you have extra threads, or maybe you don't put them in such a way that you put them through, you double them over, or something like that. And if you change it and you make more different kind of strings, imhosi, if you would be goreya, why is it any different? Same question that I asked you about the lulav. What do you hold that the halacha is by the tzitzis? Yisrael on the kesher elyon lav diraisa. What do you hold about that? The tying the tzitzis. So it says to put the tzitzis into the baguette. But what about the tying? So do you need a knot or can you just put it through? So the question is, do I at least have to tie one knot or do I not? Not. So if you hold that the kesher elyon is not essential, so then so what do I care? So you put in extra strings. What makes the string part of the tzitzis? It's not part of the tzitzis. And if, in fact, you hold that you absolutely must tie that knot, at least one knot, so the kesher elyon is the araita, so then you didn't ruin these tzitzis. They were never kosher tzitzis. Then it would be garua v'omeid. Wait a minute, and what is going on over here? If this garua v'omeid stuff that you're bringing up every time I bring you another case, you can say the same thing about the tefillin. I don't understand. Why is the tzitzis garua v'omeid, and the lulav is garua v'omeid, and the tzitzis isn't? Ihachi, the tefillin is also, you messed it up, l'chatchila. So let's imagine a case. You made regular kosher tefillin, right? So you had your four batim with your kosher tefillin. So what does this zaken do? This zaken goes ahead, and he brings another tefillin that has another parsha in it, and he says, no, you have to wear this one also. So then what's the problem? It's the same thing as having extra strings hanging loosely or extra peaches on your lulav. If you hold, you don't need agats. If you just put in a different pair of tefillin, now you're supposed to wear two tefillin. It's a big deal. So you put on a peach on your head. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. So hay l'chudekoy v'hay l'chudekoy. And if you're telling me that he made l'chatchila five different batim, so then it was never tefillin. It's exactly the same case. What am I missing over here? Ah, no. It's a big difference, you see, because by tefillin, there's an additional pagam. The pagam is, Rabbi Zera said, that bayit chitzon, she'eino ro'eh et ha'avir, basul, that actually the outside bayit has got to be exposed to the air. You can't add another bayit and paste it on. Say, okay, so fine, so I have my tefillin, and now I add another bayit, and it's covering over the place where the outside bayit would have been exposed. No. That itself is a psak. So F6. So if that's the case, you were goreya because you started off with kosher tefillin and now you destroyed the tefillin. So that's why in this case it's different because of that particular halacha. But in the other cases of the lulav with the peach and the tzitzis with the whatever the numin or the extra strings or whatever, in that case, it would just be either goruah from the beginning or it would just be amate separately. All right, gentlemen, wishing you, at least those of you who are in Yerushalayim, wishing you a continued observance of Purim. Personally, I must tell you that I think it's important to recognize it isn't Purim. No matter what you say, you cannot turn the next day of Adar into Purim, no matter what you say, because after all, it says, Velo Yavor, there ain't no such Purim. And the fact that, And the fact is that you're not going to be saying Al Hanisim, so how could it be Purim? But what it is the maybe it's a getter of a hashloma of Purim, right? The same way we find on Yom HaKippurim. We have a Suda of Yom Kippur, but it's not on Yom Kippur because you can't eat on Yom Kippur. So we have a Suda of Purim, but it's not on Purim because you can't have a Purim Suda on Shabbos. Fine. But just call it Purim, you know, and a Freilich and Purim and so on. I'm not sure that that is all that appropriate since it most clearly is not Purim. So
it's a poor excuse for Suda.
Maybe.
It's a poor excuse. Yes, Devorah.
No, but why I don't understand why they move forward Mishloach Manot Mishte, and they didn't connect with all the other people that they do on Friday, just to make a difference?
Well, it's very important that we make a difference of the different you may have Purim, right? If we do everything on one day, so then it loses
on
the whole...
Day. No. I do Friday, we do all the mitzvot, and on Shabbat, we have all the tefillot.
Well, no, but maybe he's trying to answer you. Listen now.
the tefillot are not the doing. The tefillot are tefillot. But that's, yeah. The tefillot are the one. Anyway, I'm just saying that it's, you know, I think it's important that we know what we're doing. Then, you know, the Suudas on Shabbos had the element of the Kedusha of Purim in it, the Alanisim, and the sense of Hakoras Teva, just that we weren't able to do a proper Purim Suuda on Shabbos. I mean, imagine Richie drinking his Talisker on Shabbos. I mean, it would mean a disaster for the Shabbos Suuda. Good heavens.
Rabbi, I have to admit.
I know.
You drank Talisker on Shabbos. But not for that to have that.
Thank you for asking. Huh? How do you like that? All across the world, the Rabbim, the Talmidim of the Talisker Rebbe, Rezeche, to be Misvadim, Biyachad, Besimcha, Betuvlevav, on Purim. That's wonderful.